And this Mary had been delivered by the Lord from a very terrible affliction. And she appreciated what the Lord Jesus Christ had done for her. And she had been listening to him. As the whole church knows, the sound booth wants me to turn my microphone on. It's on. Here we go again. Okay? Mary had been listening to the Lord Jesus Christ where the disciples had not understood what he said. She knew that he was going to be killed. He was going to die. And nobody else seems to have caught on to that, even though he was very plain spoken about it. And isn't it funny how sometimes we hear what God says, but we really don't hear it? You know, you read the words, and there they are right there, and somehow you just can't believe it, so you just sort of let it filter through your mind, and you lose that. Well, she heard what he said, and she knew there was something that she ought to do. In order to do this, it was going to cost her something. But when she did this, it was going to be, as the passage says, a memorial to her for all eternity. An opportunity to make a great expenditure, but not really so great, because truthfully, everything we have comes from God anyway, and he takes care of our needs. And then as a result of what she did, she is memorialized in the Bible. And let me ask you to stand for the reading of God's Word. I'm going to read Mark chapter 14, verses 1 through 9, and we'll have a word of prayer. The Bible says, after 2 days was the feast of the Passover and of unleavened bread, and the chief priests and the scribes sought how they might take him by craft and put him to death. But they said, not on the feast day, lest there be an uproar of the people. And being in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment of spikenard, very precious, and she brake the box and poured it on his head. And there were some that had indignation within themselves and said, why was this waste of the ointment made? For it might have been sold for more than 300 pence and have been given to the poor. And they murmured against her. And Jesus said, let her alone. Why trouble ye her? She hath wrought a good work on me. For ye have the poor with you always, and whensoever ye will, ye may do them good. But me ye have not always. She hath done what she could. She is come aforehand to anoint my body to the burying. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she hath done shall be spoken of for a memorial of her. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, tonight, as we've assembled here, we've already been singing praises to honor you and the Lord Jesus Christ, and to recognize the great sacrifices that have been made for us and the blessings you give us. And so, Father, tonight, as we now pause and have an opportunity to hear your voice, to hear the Word of God, I pray that you would speak to us clearly. I pray that you would guide me as I preach this passage, and Lord, just give me the strength and the wisdom to say what ought to be said and not to say what shouldn't. And I pray most of all that the Word of God and the name of God would be glorified in this time tonight. Thank you that we as a local church have the opportunity to do things, to serve you, ministry opportunities that you give us. And I pray that just like this woman, we would see them and we would be willing to make that expenditure, whether it would be time or resources or whatever we have, that we would realize nothing is more precious than that opportunity to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. God, I pray for folks that are not with us tonight, that you'd bring them back safely, and I pray for folks that are not feeling well, that you'd care for them, lift them up. We do, again, remember these folks that have medical needs tomorrow. I pray for Virginia, as she has surgery, you'd care for her and keep her safe and heal her, and pray for Mrs. Sussman, that you'd keep her safe and heal her as well. We do pray for Crystal Hall, that you'd give her a kidney. And God, that you'd just meet the needs of your people and answer their cry. And Lord, we thank you for what you have done tonight and what you're going to do. We pray that you'd bless now in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. It's interesting. We've talked about how Mark addresses different things. He goes very quickly. He leaves things out. And this story is so very familiar that as we read it, you cannot help but interject some of the facts that Mark doesn't mention because it's mentioned in the other Gospels. We know, for example, that the woman's name is Mary. We know that the one that objected to the expenditure was Judas. And we know the reason Judas objected was because Judas had an eye on money, and it wasn't that he cared about the poor, but that he was a thief and he had the bag, and what he wanted was more for himself. But Mark leaves those details out. He just focuses on some things that are very primary to the story. But he begins in verse 1 and 2 by telling us a couple of things that we might miss if we're not careful. Now again, we are in the week when the Lord Jesus Christ is about to be falsely accused and falsely convicted and crucified. And it's just a couple of days before that when these events are taking place. And he's been telling the disciples what's going to happen. They had not heard it, but Mary had. But before that story, in verses 1 and 2, you can kind of see the overview of what's happening. And let me just read a couple of those verses and give you a sense of what's going on here. He says that there were 2 days to come before the fast Passover and the feast of and the unleavened bread feast, and that the chief priests and the scribes were plotting. They sought how they might take him by craft and put him to death, but they said not on the feast day, lest there be an uproar of the people. That was kind of the general attitude. Most of the folks were either just going to follow the crowd, as they did on that day he was crucified, when they called out, "Crucify him." Or there were some that were plotting for their own purposes. The Pharisees and the scribes, they were worried about the fact that people would follow him instead of following them. And so they wanted to kill him. And that would have been the general attitude in the public. But praise God, there was one woman that was different. Somebody that saw things not for their benefit, but for the Lord's benefit. Folks, anytime we minister to God, whatever it costs us, whether it costs us time or whether it costs us money or whether it costs us whatever that expenditure might be, it is never in vain when you serve God. Amen? It's never in vain. And it doesn't matter that most folks don't do that. Today, we live in such a dangerous, dangerous day when there are all these organizations that call themselves churches, and what they really are all about is entertaining people and drawing them in with an offering of excitement or of some special kind of music or whatever. I like excitement in church and I like good music in church, but I like a church that's built around the Word of God. Amen. This is not an obstacle. This is the centerpiece in our church. Amen? And that's what it is that we need to focus on. And reaching souls for Christ. And folks, the Holy Spirit can still reach folks for Christ. Someone says, no, Pastor, if you haven't got the right kind of music, if you haven't got the right kind of whatever, people won't come. You know, I just don't remember Jesus traveling around with a band. I didn't ever see anything in the Bible about that. I never saw him using promotions and raffles and those kind of things to get folks to come. He just preached the Word of God and people heard. And then they made their choice whether to accept it or to reject it. Most rejected it, but Mary, she was different. So we come down to verse 3, and being in Bethany, in the house of Simon the leper, he sat at meat, and they were having a meal there in Simon's house. And interesting, once again, even to the very end, Mark tells us, folks, the Lord Jesus Christ came to save sinners. Aren't you glad that he was willing to save us? The leper didn't deserve the Lord's company. He had been healed by the Lord, and the leper didn't deserve anything special. All he had was a need that Christ met. But the Lord Jesus Christ had met that need, and they were having fellowship together in the house. And that's when this unusual event took place, that this woman, who Mark does not name, we know her name, but he says, brought an alabaster box. It is filled with an ointment of spikenard. It is worth 1 year's wages. If you were to put that in today's terms, what would we say? $30,000, $40,000 perhaps, $20,000, something like that. At minimum wage, $20,000, so maybe $20,000 or $30,000. And folks have speculated, where did she find the money to acquire this? You've heard me say this before, when the Bible is silent, I will be also. I don't know where she got it. It doesn't matter where she got it, it was hers. God's given us things, amen? You have some things that you consider to be precious. The question is, are they more precious than the Lord Jesus Christ? First thing you can see about this woman, and let me just focus on one verse before I tell you what that is. In verse 8, Jesus makes an amazing statement. I would pray that someday God would make this statement about you and I, that he or she, in this case she, hath done what she could. We might say it this way, she did all that she could. Or she had the opportunity and she took it. And it's mentioned in that last verse, once again, that this was of such notoriety that the Lord promised that this would be mentioned from that day forth when the gospel was preached. Just a little sidebar here. It sounds to me like Jesus was confident that the Word of God was going to be preserved, because he knew that this was going to be in there. And folks, when Jesus said it, that settles it. And he makes that statement very plainly in verse 9. He says, you know, in the whole world, it says, wheresoever this gospel is probably preached throughout the whole world, this also shall be spoken for a memorial to her. It was such a notable act that it was documented in the Bible and told throughout the entire world. And when you and I get to heaven, we may have to stand in line to talk to this woman, because a lot of folks know what she did. And why was she so extraordinary? Back to where I just almost went a while ago. The first thing about her was very simply this. She found Jesus more precious than her most valuable possession. Verse 3, it says, the alabaster box, and she broke the box and poured it on his head. There was an expenditure, again, to you and I in the common terms, $20,000, $30,000 worth of ointment a year. It would take a year to earn the wages to buy what she expended in a few moments. She saw Jesus as being that precious to her. I think we have to ask ourselves the question, how precious is Jesus to us? Amen? Is he precious enough that we would be willing to have and desire to have and long to have fellowship with him every day? You're going to hear a lot of this over the course of the next few months and beyond, but we just finished spending 3 months talking about the fact that God has carefully and properly preserved his word for us in the authorized version of the Bible. And now the question is, what do we do with it? Do we spend time in the Bible every day? Another way to ask the question, do we spend time with God every day? Tomorrow morning when you get up, there will be a lot of things vying for your attention. You may get a phone call. You may get a text message. You may hear something on the radio, or you may have read something on the computer or whatever. But before any of that, I hope you'll stop and spend some time with the Lord. He wants to talk to us, amen? How precious do we find the Lord Jesus Christ? People find it easy to make something precious that is of use to them. In fact, we have a society built around that for as long as I can remember, even back when I was a child. To give you a sense of how old I was, if I'm not mistaken, I can remember when the Dow Jones crossed 1,000. It crossed 22,000 last week. And I remember back when I was a child, this was back in the days when there were three networks. And if you had a really good antenna, you could get all three of them, you know. And I lived in Carlsbad, New Mexico, so maybe two of them. And so we'd watch the news at night. That was the one time that you had any chance of knowing what the weather was going to be for the next day, unless you read the newspaper and it was always behind, you know, that already happened by then. But we would watch the news, and on the nightly news at whatever time, I forgot, 5 o'clock probably, they would always give two numbers they got every night. They'd tell you how many people died in Vietnam, and they'd tell you what the Dow Jones Industrial was at, because people were measuring that number. That told them something. This is how much wealth I have. This is whether I gained a little wealth today or lost a little wealth today. And people were very interested in that. We find things precious that are valuable to us, that are of use to us, that mean something to us. Look at this woman. She found the Lord Jesus Christ more precious than anything that she had. She was willing to give, literally. Think of what she could have done with a year's worth of wages. I mean, she could have gone anywhere she wanted to go. She could have bought pretty much anything she wanted to buy. She probably could have gotten a house if she wanted it, or she surely could have gotten some wonderful clothing. Or think of all the things you could do if you had in your possession a year's worth of wages that were not owed to somebody. They're not attached to anything. They just belong to you. You can do what you want to with it. What would you do with $20,000 or $30,000 if you had that in your wallet right now? Someone says, pay bills. The bills were already paid, apparently. Now what are you going to do with it? She said, the Lord Jesus Christ is more precious to me than my greatest possession. And folks, he ought to be that way to us. Amen? And then let me help you with this. If he is not, if you struggle with that a little bit, I understand. We have a body of flesh, and it gives us difficulty in our lives. But my prayer to God would be, Lord, let me see the Lord Jesus Christ and let him be as precious to me as he ought to be. He should be worth more than anything else we have, our most precious possession. She found Jesus more precious than anything she had. There's a second reason that she got this compliment, and I'm going to jump down to verse 7. And let's look at Mark chapter 14 and verse 7. It says, Jesus speaking, he's correcting that Judas who had accused her falsely. And in verse 6, Jesus said, let her alone. Why trouble ye her? She hath wrought a good work on me. For ye have the poor with you always. And whensoever, and you kind of watch that word there, whensoever ye will, ye may do them good. But me ye have not always. And then he says, she hath done what she could. Verse 7, what he's saying is, she saw an opportunity. It was a limited opportunity. It wasn't going to last forever. And she took that opportunity. Now, there's another way to say that. She exchanged one opportunity for another. She had the opportunity to keep this great item of wealth or to sell it or whatever. And she had the opportunity in the form of this valuable possession. But she saw another opportunity. She saw the Lord Jesus Christ and the fact that he was about to die, to be crucified. And I know that she didn't understand all the details, but she knew this. The right thing to do was to anoint him. And she took the opportunity to minister to him while she had it. We have limited opportunities. We have only certain amounts of time that we can do certain things. Now, I know sometimes that can get us in trouble when they aren't limited. For example, you might say to yourself, well, Tuesday visitation at 6:30 this week, I'm busy, so I'll go the week after. And we feel like we're always going to have that opportunity. But truthfully, each week, there's somebody out there that you may never see again. We've been going over here. We had about 15 people, if I counted right, three children and 12 adults, met here Tuesday evening at 6:30. What a great blessing that was to have that many people turn out. And we hit that apartment complex down there with force. We had a good group out, and they were out there knocking doors. And there were people that were home Tuesday night that we talked to on Tuesday night that will probably never hear the gospel that clearly again in their lifetime. That opportunity was there, and it was gone. We have opportunities to serve God, but they're limited. Our life is limited. Our life is like a vapor. But our days are also numbered. And the night cometh, as the Lord said, when no man can work. There is a time when we can do what we do. And right now, every day, there are opportunities to serve the Lord, and I hope you take them. But there may be unique opportunities. That person that the Lord brings across your path, the salesman or the repairman or someone like that, and you go to that person and you tell them the gospel, and you never are going to see them again. Let's not miss those opportunities, amen? You say, well, Pastor, well, it may cost me something. Yes, it cost Mary a tremendous amount of money, but it was an opportunity that she surely was glad she took. She got the compliment because of the expenditure, or the experience, of finding Jesus more precious than her possessions. She exchanged one opportunity for another. And then let's just look at verse 8 one more time, and we'll kind of tie this all together. The Bible says in verse 8 that Jesus complimented her. He said this, she hath done what she could. Listen to those words. She hath done what she could. That's an enormous compliment. Could God say of us, of any of us, we've done what we could? Seems like we miss, or we pass over, or we forsake opportunities to serve Him. I would pray that this week, let's just focus on a few days at a time, that this week, of the members of Vision Baptist Church, that God could say of many of us that we have done what we could. That we took the opportunity and we used it to its fullest. We went as far as we could. We went out soul winning. We had a lot of work done at church last week. I don't know, you kind of have a hard time summing it up because you see bits and pieces, but getting to be here all week and getting to see everything come together, we did a ton of things last week. We had a great night on Tuesday night for visitation. We had a good prayer meeting on Wednesday night. Brother Mendez did an enormous amount of work last week getting ready for in-service for the school starts tomorrow. We had a huge work day on Saturday. And praise God, this morning God's house was well-filled with visitors and with new members. And a lot of good things happened last week. And it's week upon week like that that are going to allow us as a church, enable us as a church to reach this community for Christ. There's a danger that comes along with a week like that. Sometimes we say to ourselves, wow, I did a lot last week. I'm going to take a break. You know, this last week I worked very hard, so this next week I'm going to kind of take the week off. That's not how we're going to reach our community for Christ. We need to be faithful, amen? Every day, just keep on going and use those opportunities. When he says she had done what she could, what he's saying is she saw what could be done. She was willing to make that expenditure to do it. She had a reason. She saw how precious the Lord Jesus Christ was. He meant more to her than those riches that were represented in that box. She knew it was the right thing to do, and she did it, and she got a great compliment. You say, well, what good is a compliment? Oh, I think you'll know the answer to that question one day. Can you imagine standing before your Creator? All things were made by Him. Without Him was not anything made that was made. Amen? He's our Creator. Can you imagine standing before your Creator and hearing Him say the words, well done, a good and faithful servant, rather than thou wicked and slothful servant? I want to hear Him say, well done, one day, amen? And He is so gracious, He is so loving and kind to us. Let me give you some examples. You think Peter, for example, do you think Peter one day is going to hear Jesus say, well done, thou good and faithful servant? What do you think? Is he going to? I believe he will, but wait a minute. Peter forsook Him in the garden. In fact, Peter literally three times denied that he even knew Him. But the Lord Jesus Christ restored him, didn't He? And Peter will hear those words, well done, thou good and faithful servant. What about Paul? I don't have any question in my mind. Paul's going to hear those words, well done. Here's a man that persecuted the church and literally killed Christians and looked on while Stephen was stoned to death. And all, what had Stephen done? Stephen had preached the truth, and the Jews killed him. And Paul looked on in approval and then subsequently was going about killing Christians. But folks, the Lord Jesus Christ forgives us, amen? He restores us. Let me just say it this way. It's not too late for us to hear those words, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And it's not too late, listen and I'll finish, it's not too late to hear Him say that we have done what we could. I say, wait a minute, Pastor, in the past, the Bible says, Paul makes it really clear. Paul said it this way. He said, forgetting those things that are behind, so I press forward. And when he knew his past had not been what it ought to be, he did not turn around and dwell on that. He looked to the Lord Jesus Christ and said, what can I do now? We have seen, I think, just in the last couple of weeks in our church, that God answers prayer. Amen? It's a miracle. I mean, you know, I've been in the ministry now for several decades, and I can remember a couple of times. I remember one time I was up here in Bullhead City, that'd be over there, in Bullhead City, and Pastor Harris was starting a church there, and they had a Sunday when we were there visiting with them, and so many families came forward to join the church that Sunday, they wouldn't hardly fit across the front of the church. And that's a blessing. That's just not something that happens all the time. We had one time in Maryland where We had so many folks that came to join the church at one point in time that we usually had met with them like we did today in a certain room, but that room wasn't big enough. And I was thinking, where am I going to meet with these people? There's too many of them. By the time you got all of them and all the deacons in one room, there was no good place to meet. And we finally all crammed into this one room, this classroom that we could find. And I've seen that happen. But it's not every day that God blesses the way he's blessed us lately. Amen? Say, why would God do that, Pastor? Well, one thing I know is this, because we prayed. Now, let me ask you this. Are you satisfied to stop here? No. I'm not either. I want to see God do great things. What could God do if we trusted him? What could God do? Let me ask you, could God fill every chair in this room? Couldn't he? Amen? Could God let us see folks saved and baptized every week? Could these baptistry waters be troubled over and over and over again, week in and week out? He could do that. Could God allow us to serve him with such effectiveness that every one of these people in these neighborhoods would have heard the gospel from us, and that some of them, many of them prayerfully, would have been saved and joined this church? I think we've just seen a little of what God can do. This passage, when he says, she hath done what she could, he didn't say she did a little. I would like to see the Lord say of our church, Vision Baptist Church has done what it could. That's a dangerous statement. I'll tell you why. Because, folks, what can God do? What can God do when we're obedient? What can God do when we're faithful? What can God do when we refuse to quit? This is a good spot. The AC is right here. I'm going to stay right here. What can God do when we're faithful to him and we trust him and we just keep on keeping on? Amen? God can do great things. You've seen in the last couple of weeks what God can do. That's just a start. She had done what she could. God had given her, now listen to this, God had given her an enormous resource somehow, tens of thousands of dollars in our terminology, and she had what she needed because God gave it to her. She found Jesus more precious than that possession. She saw the opportunity. And so the third thing is, she took what she had and used it to honor the Lord Jesus Christ. Here's the thought. If we as Vision Baptist Church, as a local church, if we want to see God work in such a way that he would say one day, Vision Baptist Church has done what it could, the only way that's going to happen is if we take what we have and use it to serve God. Say, Pastor, I just don't have anything. You got time, amen? You got faith. You can get on your knees and pray. You can tell people about the Lord Jesus Christ. You can come out, perhaps, and on either Tuesdays or whenever. And last week, that's another thing we had a whole lot of. We had a lot of evangelism going on last week. We had people out. Mr. Hickson and I were out Tuesday morning. We had 12 adults and 3 children out Tuesday night. Mr. Hickson and Tom went out again Friday, wasn't it? And people heard the gospel and people made professions of faith. Folks, that's called doing what you can. What could we do if we would use what God has given us, no matter how valuable it is, it's his, and he can replace it with something even better here and in eternity. That's another message. If we take what God's given us to work with and use it to minister to the Lord Jesus Christ, he could say of Vision Baptist Church, they have done what they could. And what that's really saying is God did what he could through us. Amen? Not an easy thing. There will be a cost. There will be opposition. I didn't even preach on that, but you saw the opposition there in verse 4 and verse 5. The minute that you decide to take your life and your resources and use them to honor the Lord Jesus Christ, somebody's going to be indignant about it. Somebody's going to say, what in the world is wrong with you? You should have done this or you should have done that. No, what you should have done is what you could to honor the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? And wouldn't it be good if in someone's moment of indignation, the Lord Jesus Christ spoke up on your behalf? Wouldn't you like to hear that? Amen? That he came to her defense and said, no, she did what she could. And by the way, the person that was fussing was the very same one that betrayed the Lord Jesus Christ a couple of days later. Because what he was willing to do was what he could for himself rather than the Lord Jesus Christ. I would pray, and I trust that you as a church would join me in this, that God would do great things with our church, but if he's going to be able to say of us, Vision Baptist Church has done what it could, it's going to mean we're going to have to find him more precious than our possessions. It's going to mean that we're going to have to take the opportunities that he gives us and use them right when they're there. And it's going to mean that we're going to have to exchange those things that we did find precious for the things that he finds precious and allow him to use our service to reach this community, to reach the world, and to let us see results for his glory. Amen? Let's all stand and pray.